Welcome to the podcast. No, I'm not going to sing. Oh, that's terrible. Welcome to the Full Press Panthers podcast. It is your host, Alex Slemp, and today's episode coming to you from the beaches of Tampa Bay. That's right. I'm in enemy territory. Thought I would test the old waters over on the other side of the coast. Like I gotta say, it's nice. This is a nice place for anyone who hasn't ventured over to Tampa Bay. It's a good time. Good food scene. Been really enjoying that. Anyways, we're doing the pod here. Just want to thank you all for tuning in to another episode. We got a lot of Panthers stuff to talk about. But as always, thank you for choosing the Full Press Panthers podcast as your place to get your Panthers news. And thank you for choosing Full Press Hockey for your place to get all your other related hockey news. Great stuff. Great stuff. So today, oh man, we've got to cover a doozy of a double header. Did not go as planned for the Panthers. Back-to-back losses. Rangers, Pens, big games. Two teams chasing in that wild card race. Got a couple L's on that. That one was tough. I mean, those were tough losses. But I mean, it was... Oh, man, there's so much I want to say on it. We're going to get into it, but we're going to talk about those two games. We're going to talk about the Panthers' playoff chances after these two losses, because these are pretty big losses due to the teams that they were playing. So I went and I crunched the numbers for you. I did all the homework. I did all the research. I did all the math. I did it all. And now I've got some numbers for you to help keep the faith and you for the Panthers playoff hopes. There is still a chance. By George, there is. With 32 games left to play, the Florida Panthers, they've got a chance. Okay, now the hill, it be steep. Okay, very steep, but it's climbable, it's doable, and we're gonna break that down and take a look at what the Panthers need to do to come away with enough wins to get that playoff spot. All right, well, here, let's break it down. Let's get into those first two games. Alex Lyon, the Lyon King. Ooh, he got tamed. He sure did. We cannot hang these losses on him, though. I mean, this guy, he answered the bell. He was called to come in and playing a back-to-back. Are you kidding me? Back-to-back. Spencer Knight did not get the start against the Pens, meaning that there had to have been, he was still dealing with whatever had kept him out before. He had back-to-back starts in the AHL in his conditioning stint. He had a day off and didn't start in a very, very important game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The only reason he is not signing that game is there had to be something lingering. Whatever was keeping him out prior was keeping him out in this one. There is no way you start Alex Lyon in back-to-back games like this. That's the only reason. The poor guy, but hey, Lyon answered the bell, okay? And I mean, and he gave his all in that. He listened to his post-game presser after that loss in Pittsburgh, and you just hear it in his voice. The guy, he cares so much. He really does. He took that loss on himself. He shouldn't have. It's team effort always. You know, that was just hard to hear. You could just see it, hear it in his voice. He really felt he let the team down. I hope that's not what he truly believes, because I mean, that was, it was a team effort. A lot of variables hit the Panthers in that one. You know, they were without some of their players, and just the adversity. Man, how many times we heard that word this season for the Panthers, but the adversity that the Panthers have to continuously overcome. They just couldn't get over that one last night. You go and look at the game against the Rangers. That one was discouraging for me, getting tripled up by the Rangers 6-2. Ugh, I mean, that was a team the Rangers are, okay, so the Rangers are a very good hockey club. You know, they're well coached, they're well built, you know, they're a good, very good hockey club. I did not think that they would have their way with the Panthers the way they did. That was very discouraging to see, especially with the importance of that game, the effort that was there. You know, I really didn't like it, and it doesn't matter if I like it, right? But I you know, that game was too important, and to get tripled up the way they did, I mean, that's just a poor showing. I mean, it was tough. They lost Sam Bennett, and he's just been an integral part of this team and anchoring down that second line with Verhaeghe and Matt Tkachuk. You know, he got tangled up there with Hedl. Don't think that was a dirty play at all. It was reckless. You want to use any sort of word, I would say reckless. These are just two guys turning up from the play, right? And the skates get caught. I know some people were saying it was an on-purpose slew foot. I'm not going to buy that one. It happens. Like, you're just, like, you're turning up the ice. You're looking ahead. You don't really feel, like, both guys are going up the ice at the same time. You're not really going to feel that foot on them. It happens. In my playing days, I mean, this happens. You don't really feel it. Being on the receiving end, being on the giving end. And you don't. So I don't want to call it malicious. Maybe if you want to use any word, reckless, I guess you could say. But even then, I'm not really sure how aware Hedl was that he was tangled in with Bennett. And also, if he had the intentions of hurting him on that play, you know, that would be a very highly skilled slew foot to do. So, you know, I don't really want to get in on bagging on Hedl for that. No, not at all. Not at all. But I want to fast forward up to the game against the Pens, because this is the one that had even more importance. Alex Lyon gets a start. We already talked about that. The way, it was played, though. Frustrating. Now, we got a point. That was huge. But when we were tied, when it was 5-5, and the Penguins got their go-ahead goal to go up 6-5, I was rattled. Because the Panthers were playing well. They were playing well, and all they had to do at that point. Now, here's the thing, because my whole point is going to really be moot here, because they ended up tying it and gaining it to overtime anyways to get the point. But at the time, we didn't know that was going to happen. I was fuming when it was 5-5. All they had to do was kill a penalty, right? I mean, all they had to do, like that. I mean, I say it like it's easy. It's tough to do against the Penguins, a very good power play. But all they had to do was just play smart and just get to the end, right? What'd they do? We had Forsling and Ekblad moving up the ice. They had just cleared the zone, and the two of them are moving up the ice. And then all of a sudden, Crosby gets the puck in the neutral zone. It's a little neutral zone turnover. And he's got the step behind the two defensemen and walks right in and scores. I was like, what do you... It just was not smart hockey. Because in that situation, you know you're playing for the point. You just got to get that point. And how you don't just, like, see that the puck gets out of the zone and you hang back. And you're like, my job is to just sit in my zone, and as soon as that puck comes in, I fire it out. What are you pressing for? Because it wasn't even a full press. You know what? If you were being like, we need to win this game in regulation, that's how important it is, which it was, and winning in regulation would have gone a long way. But if that was your mindset, then you would have been pushing a lot harder than that. There's a glide up the zone. What were you doing? I could have at least gotten behind you if you had a real push, like you were moving your feet, jumping up in the rush and trying to make a play happen. But you were just gliding up the ice. What was the point of that? That was frustrating. Now, luckily, the Panthers were able to get a tying goal, send the thing to overtime. But again, officiating, they didn't like the Panthers in that one. Panthers playing on the PK a lot that game. Having another one decided like that in overtime because of a penalty. Very frustrating. A lot of the fans voicing their displeasure on the socials. And rightfully so, though. I mean, that's... Oh, I mean, in a game like that, I was really shocked to see some of the penalties get called. Again, I've said it before on this podcast, I don't like dog on the refs. But there was definitely some questionable calls, especially the type of game that was being played. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. But they lost, okay? And we can't change it, so we lost. The Panthers got one out of a possible 4 points. And that leads me to my next segment. What does this look like for the Panthers moving forward? Well, as of this morning, MoneyPuck.com had the Panthers' playoff chances at 42.6%. That's down from a 54% that they had before those two losses. But that was up from 25% before the Panthers went on that 7-2-1 10-game stretch. Very successful there. So as you can see, chances of making the playoffs, very volatile number. You have a few good games, you can really, you know, change your playoff hopes in a minute, right? So as we look forward to the rest of the season, Panthers have 32 games left. I want to break down just what they are going to need to do to make the playoffs. So I'm gonna hit you with a bunch of numbers. If you're a numbers person, a stats guy or gal, you're gonna like this part. If you don't like them, well, I don't know, try your best to follow along. Some good stuff in here. Okay, so right now, Panthers are chasing four teams. Because the Rangers could fall out of their third place in the Atlantic. The Metropolitan. It's a tight division there. But right now, there's pretty much, of any team that's going to be unseeded, that the Panthers could take a playoff spot from, it's going down to one of the Rangers, Capitals, Penguins, or potentially the Sabres. Sabres are ahead of them and have a few more games in hand on them. They could unseat someone. So the Rangers have a 68% chance of making it. Capitals are about 67. Penguins, 63% chance of making the playoffs. And the Buffalo Sabres have the exact same chance to make the playoffs as the Panthers do at 42.6%. Now, let's take a look at the old strength of schedule. Right? I don't know how much you buy into this, but I'm going to break it down a little bit anyways. Strength of schedule, the Florida Panthers are sitting at the 10th hardest, okay, in the old Eastern Conference. So they're kind of middle of the pack. A good thing is that the Buffalo Sabres have the hardest schedule the rest of the way. The bad news is Pittsburgh and Washington, easier schedules the rest of the way, okay? So, I mean, take that as it is. But let's break down the Florida Panthers' schedule. What does that look like? Okay, well, I mean, one great benefit is that most of their road work is done, right? All those big West Coast trips, they're out of the way. Of the 32 games left, 20 of them will be at home. And those road games, you know, it's not much travel. We're talking northeast part of the country. Everything's real close to one another. So they're not going to have a lot of travel. And that's great for a team that's struggling to stay healthy, right? We need a lot of games at home, right? Don't want to have too much travel. Don't want to put too much stress on the bodies. These players have had enough. So that's a real good part of their schedule. And then you look, they still have 9 games against the bottom 9 teams in the NHL. Now, I know you can't take any team for granted in the NHL, okay? But a favorable matchup is a favorable matchup at the end of the day. And so the Panthers will take as many of those as they can get. So having 9 against those bottom teams, really good opportunity, stack some points, right? We also have 6 games left against teams directly ahead of the Panthers for the wild card play. So that's those are the teams I talked about earlier. So Sabres, Penguins, Capitals, Rangers. So, you know, we have a chance in those, you know, as they say, 4-point games to really make up some significant ground, have a chance to leapfrog those teams. Those are really, really important games at this point in the season. So we still have six left. So that's really good news. Now, it's not all good news, though. The bad news is the amount of back-to-backs that the Panthers have left. And those back-to-backs have not been friendly to the Panthers. Panthers have already played seven sets of back-to-backs where they have a horrendous record of 3-11. Yikes. They have only won one of the games on the tail end of the back-to-back. Woo! They have been outscored 62-47. I mean, that's actually not too bad of a goals for per game average. That's a 3.36 goals for per game average in back-to-backs. But they are a disastrous 4.43 goals against in the back-to-backs. That is, like, bad, bad. You ain't winning hockey games when you're allowing 4.5 goals. Are you kidding me? Team's got to clean that up. Whoa. So that's probably the worst part of it, of their remaining schedule are going to be those back-to-backs. And this is what it's going to look like. So the Panthers, so that 3-11 record, that's a, they had a points percentage of 0.28 in back-to-backs. Okay, so if they are to hold that average for those 10 games, those other five sets of back-to-backs, the Panthers will then need to go in their other 22 games, 0.88 points percentage. That's like better than the Boston Bruins, okay? That's not a good sign. So they are really going to have to figure out how to play back-to-backs, how to be successful in back-to-back games, because there is no chance that they can run the table the way the Boston Bruins have. The Boston Bruins are having a historic run. They're having a better run than what the Florida Panthers did last season. And what the Panthers did last season was record-breaking and amazing to watch. And you're like, this is a one-in-a-lifetime season they're putting together. Okay? They're going to need to be better than that if they go about these back-to-backs the way they have so far this season. So they have to figure that out. Now, let's say they can at least go 500, okay? Five wins, five losses. Let's say they do that in those back-to-backs. Well, that 0.88 points percentage they would need in the 22 games goes down to a 0.77. It's a little bit more manageable. It's still really hard, though. We're talking, you'd have to have more than, for every four games, you got to go more than three wins, right? That's tough. So the Panthers, the most important thing for them the rest of the way is that they have to figure out how to play in these back-to-back games. They also need to get healthy, though. I mean, there's only so much they can do. This injury bug that has hit them again, oh my goodness, they can't catch a break. But regardless of what sort of adversity they're facing, the biggest thing the Panthers have to do is get points in these back-to-backs. They need points the rest of the way, right? Because historically, you need 96 points to make the playoffs. And moneypuck.com is projecting that as well. It's going to be about 96 and change, so you're going to need 97. The Panthers are going to have to be putting up, I believe it was at 0.69. Nice. Points. That was unprofessional. 0.69 points percentage the rest of the way. They're going to have to do that. So regardless of how things shake out in the back-to-backs, Panthers really got to put together some runs. Now, what they did in that 10-game stretch when they went 7-2-1, that's more than enough to be on pace to make the playoffs. And I believe that they can do that. Now, the biggest thing will be getting their goaltending back. But if they get that back, they absolutely can, because this team, I believe they've really figured it out. That they've got this system down. The lines have been tinkered just right. The top six is looking good. Bottom six looking good. A lot of the team is getting it done and looking good at the right time. He's got to get back in healthy. And I think that they can continue to put together some runs like that that we're seeing. So we've got a few days off here before their next back-to-back, LA Kings, Boston Bruins. Friday and Saturday set. That is a tough one. I mean, it's nothing is really getting much easier the rest of the way for the Panthers, but this is a team that can do it. I have a lot of belief in them, a lot of faith in them, and they've put together just a really nice run before these last two losses. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I wanted to just drop these numbers on you, give you an idea of what the Panthers really need to do the rest of the way. Long story short, they got to win. That's it. It's just what it is. Win. Get points. As many points as you can. That's what they got to do here. So we will be back on the pod on Sunday. Panthers are back on the ice on Friday, getting some nice rest. Hopefully we get some bodies back, some healthy bodies back, and can see a real nice set out of the Panthers here over the weekend. So looking forward to that. It's going to be good. Anyways, let's wrap it up. Jeez, take more time to wrap it up. Thank you once again for tuning into the Full Press Panthers podcast. It's always great to have you all listening, even though I can't interact with you. It's just lonely, me on the mic. But thank you for choosing Full Press for your Panthers hockey news, for all your other hockey-related news. And we'll see you again on Sunday. And until then, enjoy some Panthers hockey over the weekend. Big games. Big games, a lot of fun. All right. Until then, take care.